Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, July 27th, 2016. With me today, I have Kelly Goumont. And how are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I am well, and it's good to have you on the show today. And it's also good to have John Martellaro on the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm bright-eyed and just bright-eyed.
All right. Well, that's good because when you're dull-eyed, I get worried we're going to have to take you to the vet. Anyhow, we have interesting topics. I'm just going to jump right into it.
And yeah, let's go.
Yeah. So yesterday was Apple's third quarter earnings report for 2016. And just the quick recap of what Apple announced. Revenue, $42.4 billion for the June quarter. And earnings were $7.8 billion. And so what that means is numbers were down for revenue just a little bit year over year. So same quarter last year, $49.6 billion instead of $42.4 billion. Then we have guidance for next quarter, and Apple expects that they're going to be bringing in between $41 and $43 billion in revenue. And actually,
are you sure about that?
Guidance $41 to $43 billion
next quarter, quarter four,
quarter four. That's what Apple's okay. guiding.
Mm-hmm. Okay, not a whole lot more than this quarter.
No,
nope. But really, it's quarter one, which is the holiday quarter, so the last 3 months of the year,
yeah,
that tends to be the big quarter because it's the holiday quarter.
And
when they've traditionally brought out phones, it's only been a few days of the third quarter, or the fourth quarter, I mean. It's only been a few days of the fourth quarter that they've been available, so we don't really get a good idea of what those numbers are like until January when we get the quarter one conference call.
Right. Okay, so we have units sold, 40.4 million iPhones. So that's down quite a bit year over year. iPad sales, 9.9 million units. And then Macs, 4.2 million units. So while those unit sales may not be fantastic, actually, Apple did pretty well overall for the quarter.
Now, see, I'm going to take issue with you there real quick because what was the iPad number?
9.9 million.
9.9, almost 10 million in 3 months.
I know, that's really good. So,
and I defy anyone who is not Apple to sell 3 million of anything in a month and have people poo-poo it as failure. Because that's the thing that has, and I've beaten this drum forever, I mean, honestly, but this is a thing that I don't understand. Like, yes, it wasn't necessarily as good as last quarter, or it wasn't necessarily as good year over year as the quarter, the same quarter last year. But keeping that in mind, selling 10 million anything in a quarter, like, how many companies can lay claim to that?
Well, Kelly, there is some cause for concern because of the downward trend continuing.
I'm not concerned about it because I still feel like a lot of people, I just actually had an interaction with somebody yesterday still using an iPad 2. So there are a lot of people, you know,
stories
when you
like
market
that are legendary. Yeah, iPad 2 is legendary.
Yeah, when you market, when you market something, when you build something and you make it for the masses, you know, capital P people, when you do that, then there a lot of people are going to not upgrade. This is probably the same person who, you know, had a dial-up account until just a couple of years ago, you know, for their internet. And it's entirely possible that their computer is not even a computer from this decade. It may be a decade old. It may be old enough to drive. I've actually worked recently on a computer that would have been old enough to drive. And, you know, sometimes people just hold on to stuff because the thing I have is working and I'm not a technology person. And every time I click this button, my email comes in. Why would I screw with that? Because most people who are reasonable folks understand that that way lies madness. Now, For some people, that's madness. For us, it's my idea of a good time. But there's a huge difference there. And I think that as the iPad finds its feet, as enough people have purchased them, and, you know, we're just getting to the point now, I think, where folks who have an original iPad or an iPad 2 are going to start maybe looking at, I'll give this one to the kids and maybe I can treat myself to a new one as that evolves. And I don't think that curve is there yet.
Kelly, you identified the problem, but you haven't walked your way out of it logically. The problem is that the iPad was stagnant for too long in its technology, and people didn't feel the need to upgrade. But
I don't think stagnant is the right word. You're mischaracterizing what I'm saying. Don't mischaracterize what I'm saying. What I'm saying is people had what they had, and it worked. And a lot of people have a lot of inertia when it comes to technology, because when you buy a new thing, things don't work right. Everything goes wrong. You have to set it all up again, and people don't like that.
Why did people upgrade their PCs and their Macs in the 90s and early aughts? It's because the technology was thriving. It was expanding. Things were getting better. The processors were getting faster. And people found that what they had was no longer keeping up. And so there was this 2 or 3 year upgrade cycle on PCs and Macs. Mm-hmm. When the iPad finally reaches maturity, it gets to the point where it's evolving rapidly and it becomes an essential part of your life and can do all the things that you need to do, as opposed to just being a simple second screen and a little gadget for, you know, watching Netflix and shopping, then the need will arise to stay with the technology and upgrade. But what people are seeing is that despite the tremendous increases in the hardware, iOS hasn't unleashed that. And the changes, while incremental, haven't been dramatic enough to incite people. So it's not yet reached its market maturity. I wrote about this Friday in Particle Debris. It's sort of in the trough of disillusionment. It's in that hype cycle where we had the initial sales where Apple sold 26 million in one quarter a couple years ago. And now we're 9.9 million. We're in the trough of disillusionment. And Apple's struggling to pull the iPad into product maturity and thriving and evolution and being an essential part of our lives instead of a toy add-on for a lot of people. And when it does that, then the sales will start taking off again.
John, you ignorant... No, I'm just kidding.
I'm going to get some popcorn.
Here's what I think. Here's the deal, though. A lot of people aren't necessarily treating the iPad as an accessory. I personally know a number of people for whom the iPad is their primary computer. I think that that technological honesty, which is another thing I talk about a lot, is really important. A lot of people have realized that 10-year-old computer, whether it was a Mac or a PC or, you know, whatever it was, that 10-year-old machine, like, all I really use it for is I look at Facebook, I go look at the stuff that I have happening in the bank, I read my email, and I play a game, whatever that game is. For some people, it's solitaire. Sometimes it's Free Cell. Sometimes it's one of the slot machine games. And that's literally all I'm doing with that computer. Why don't I get an iPad, which cost half what that computer cost me, and use that to do all of those things? And then, like, when I go on a trip, I can take it with
me. You're doing the same old stuff with the iPad. You're playing that silly little game, and you're checking on some things, and you're doing all those tasks that you just described on the PC. So why replace it with an iPad that does little more? The argument I'm making is that the iPad hasn't reached the point yet where it is the go-to device. It's a thriving, growing tool that can replace what we've been using. And as soon as it gets to that point, when it can really, really replace the MacBooks, then you'll see a need to replace it frequently.
But a lot of people are already at that point. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Just because it's not you and I doesn't mean it isn't happening.
Okay, so from what I have seen, Kelly... you are right, and John, you are right, and I'm not trying to be Switzerland and ride the fence here and stay neutral. Kelly, you are right.
No, you just want us to talk about something else.
Well, we'll get to more stuff. And yes, we totally did not go down the path that I was envisioning today, but hey, I'm not surprised. Anyhow.
Return from subroutine.
So, Kelly, you are right in that there are a lot of people that are finding that an iPad is a suitable replacement for their computer. and or their desktop or laptop that they had been using. So when
they weren't necessarily people on the upgrade treadmill in the first place. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Right. And so when they got to the point where they were ready to upgrade their PC, whether it was a Mac or a Windows computer, mm-hmm. they upgraded to an iPad. Mm-hmm. And John, you are right in that while the number of people that are finding a tablet device, specifically the iPad, to be acceptable as a replacement for a more traditional computer, it's not completely there yet. I am a perfect example where I would love to be able to travel with just my iPad Pro for conferences and other big events. I can't because doing things like recording a show like this on mm-hmm. just my iPad, mm-hmm. I can make it happen, but it is so cumbersome and impractical that it's easier just to throw my MacBook Pro in a bag right. and go to the show. So mm-hmm. so we haven't hit that critical point where those of us that are doing a lot of production work can do that mm-hmm. in a way where it's as seamless on an iPad as it is on a Mac.
And that's right. where the sales will start picking up.
And yes, and you're right. Sales in that segment will definitely pick up when we hit that point. And Kelly, for people that have a more casual use, I think sales for them have been steadily increasing. And I think that's maybe accounting for a lot of the iPad sales we've been seeing.
As do I, because I think there are a lot. I think there are a lot of people who, like I said, were never on the upgrade path in the first place. So that computer they're replacing is not 2 years old or 3 years old. It's 5 years old or 8 years old or 10 years old or older. And when you replace that and you get a new thing and it works, you kind of sometimes want to hold on to that as long as possible. And, you know, the edge case of that, I think, is where things are going to get interesting, only because let's talk about the Mac Pro for a minute and the smashing sales success. Okay, because they upgraded it. They came out with this new machine the R5D4, because everybody says it's a black R2D2, but there's no such thing as a black R2D2. Black R2D2 is actually an R5D4 unit anyway.
Well done.
Return from subroutine, as John says. They came out with that computer, and everybody had been screeching forever that the cheese grater had to go, and it was so old, and it was aging badly, and we needed something new, and so we got something new. And I don't remember ever getting a press release about what amazing sales they were doing on this computer that clearly had all this pent-up demand that everyone said the world needed. And I'm not finding... I don't remember seeing any of that information, and I don't know that it's necessarily continuing. And, you know, I barely even see them in the Apple store anymore because they're using all that space for those new not Apple displays and
There's one in every Apple store I go to, and it's connected to the aging cinema display.
Yeah, one. It's not a centerpiece, and there's not like a sign over it that's like, come behold the new Apple designed trash can, which is the other thing everybody says about it. So like, they're not making a big deal of it. It's like they're for people who have actively sought it out. And I feel like as much as this is going to hurt people who are people who listen to podcasts and everything, I think Apple is evolving into a company that may not be for you. And, you know, production folks, like, you may end up with a computer forever, because once the iPad is good enough for capital P people, I'm not entirely convinced that that sort of evolution is going to continue. There's going to be stuff you can do with software that's going to be amazing. There's going to be stuff you can do with things you can plug into the ports that's going
to
be great.
Don't get me wrong. I'm looking forward to the day when I have a 24-inch iPad in front of me, and I'm talking to it with Siri, and I'm writing all my articles on it, and it's my go-to machine. That I believe that's going to happen, and I'm looking forward to that.
But I also think that you know, like I said, all of the people who wanted that Mac Pro, that's not for, you know, the Mac Pro is not for people, And I feel like Apple is evolving into a company that is making things for people, and that the edge case is going to become even further out on the edge, which is a little bit disrespectful to people to, you know, out on the edge to call them an edge case. Like, you know, you're an unusual customer of ours. And I don't know, Jeff, that there's necessarily anything unreasonable in you saying, I want to be able to take my iPad Pro with me and record a podcast and have it sound as good as this one does when I use my full-on machine. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I also don't think this is a reason for concern, which is where I was trying to get to when we got derailed, when John started derailing me. I'm not worried about this because I feel like it's making the iPad market bigger. Like, the tablet market is far larger now than it used to be because people can look at this as a viable upgrade from that 10-year-old computer that they have in their house.
Which has horrendous security consequences. I mean, if you're using a machine that has Windows 98 on it, forget the service packs. You really need to get off that machine. The other day, right. I was talking to my wife about an accidental recovery into Mavericks. And she said, well, why don't you just stay in Mavericks? And I said, no, I can't. The security implications of staying in Mavericks would be horrendous. Despite security updates. So I think the iPad replacement was of these older PCs was because you don't have to worry so much about backing them up, although you still do. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry so much about the security consequences. They're very secure and they're very handy. You don't typically have a lot of attached devices, mm-hmm. and time machine drives to back it up. It's just this thing you carry around, and it's kind of like the new way of thinking. You know, I have an iPad, I back it up to the cloud. Life is simple. Life is easy. It's wonderful.
Yeah. And I think that there are a lot of people considering a tablet who maybe didn't consider them when the first or even the second generation of iPad were released. And so I think that there are still a fair number of new customers in that 9.9 million number. And maybe even people who are barely customers, like maybe this is their second iPad because something happened to the first one, or because they decided that the kids needed to use something besides that old computer that sits in the kitchen. And there's a lot more people coming to that mobile market than there were before. And I think that is a really interesting thing to consider.
I know we've dug back into the subroutine here, but if you start drawing a linear extrapolation through the iPad sales curve, at some point it intersects zero. And, you know, if Apple goes down another couple million next quarter, despite the Christmas quarter, and sells 7 million, then you start having to wonder about the viability of the product line.
All right. Well, on that happy note, we have more to talk about. So I'm going to move us on. All right. The other thing I want to talk about today, and as I dive into this, I'm now really worried about keeping us on time because I'm certain I'm opening a Pandora's box. Let's talk about the Olympics. So the U.S. Olympic Committee has been sending out letters to different businesses saying, hey, look, if you're not a sponsor, an official U.S. Olympic sponsor, then you cannot mention in any way the Olympics. And this is going for even for companies that are sponsoring individual athletes, but are not sponsoring the Olympics themselves. So, and I forgot to mention the important part: you can't mention any of this on Twitter. And the USOC has even gone so far as to trademark hashtags like Rio 2016 and Team USA.
All right, Kelly, let's do this together. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1. Ah, yes. So adorable.
Olympics. Adorable, Kelly? That's cute.
So I take it you guys feel that maybe the USOC has gone a little bit overboard with their intellectual property protection.
Let me tell you a story about the Olympics and their IP protection zealotry. So I live in Portland, Oregon, of course. And 'cause that comes up, it seems like, on every podcast that when we record. And here's the thing is that there's a place here in town that is called Olympic Provisions. That's the name of the place. And they do like they have like sort of a to-go menu, but they do a lot of meat stuff. Like they make their own salami and bratwurst and they do ham and all different kinds of meat stuff. And it's all delicious. Like if you're a meat person, this is where you need to go. So they were called Olympic Provisions until just about a year ago. And they were called that because there's a place here called the Olympic Peninsula, which is a part of Washington State.
So they named their business after the peninsula.
Yeah. So they were Olympic Provisions. And I don't remember the exact origin of the name, but I remember hearing that it was, you know, because Washington State, basically. So because of this place. And they were like, I don't know what to call it. I think what it was is that they were served a cease and desist because they weren't allowed to call themselves Olympic Provisions. And so they have to call themselves Olympia Provisions now. And that's how they got out from under it. And it is ridiculous. Because Washington State has not only an Olympic Peninsula, but an Olympic mountain range. And the reason that actually, okay, so I actually did
they couldn't appeal the geographic precedent?
They started in the Olympic Mills building is where they started. And so that's why they named it Olympic Provisions. Now, if you were an Olympic athlete, I would suggest you eat there because OBS, high protein. But I never confused it with like, oh, does Michael Phelps run it? Is this where Ryan Lochte goes and like hangs out when they're in Portland? Obviously, this is a training place for people who are going to London, going to Sochi, going to Rio. No one ever thought that about this place. And like, you know, they sold salami at farmers markets and things, and they got cease and desisted by the Olympic Committee about a year ago. So they're Olympia Provisions now, and I don't care, and I still call them Olympic Provisions. Lots of people do. And if you can believe it, basically the city of Portland as a whole rolled its eyes and went, you have got to be kidding me. So I already have a special place in my heart for the ridiculousness of the willful ignorance of the U.S. Olympic Committee.
All right. So I think you've encapsulated what we see as the ridiculous state of the U.S. Olympic Committee's level of attempted control over how words are used.
Willful bloody mindedness. And now I just wonder what they're going to call it. Because, you know, the Super Bowl people are doing the same thing. You're not allowed to call it the Super Bowl unless you have some sort of official affiliation. So like if you have a Super Bowl viewing party at your bar or whatever, you can get in trouble if you say Super Bowl. If you're not like signed up for whatever program they have for making it an official thing. So I don't know if you guys have noticed this. Jeff, I'm sure you haven't noticed it, but for other people who have the vaguest knowledge of stuff that's happening sports wise, you may have noticed a lot fewer instances of people saying Super Bowl something and saying the big game on Sunday or the big game next Sunday.
No, I've noticed that.
And the reason for that is because the Super Bowl trademark police will come after you if you say Super Bowl and aren't, you know, presumably writing them a big fat check. So that's why you see a lot of see the big game here. You know, in February, outside of bars and stuff, is because you're not allowed to say it anymore.
Okay.
And I feel like the Olympics are headed the same way, which is everybody knows what you're talking about, even if you don't actually say it.
Yeah, so it'll be sort of like a Voldemort Adidas thing.
So I'm wondering how like Adidas and Nike and these people, you know, and like all the other companies that sponsor athletes but don't necessarily sponsor the Olympic team or whatever. I'm wondering what I'm wondering, A, if they're going to pay attention to this, if there's any sort of legal backbone behind it, and B, if they do pay attention, I'm really curious at how they're going to route around that, because we all know that's what the internet does. It just routes around the parts that are sort of sucky. And so how are they going to get around doing this? Are they going to call it not the Olympics, or, you know, the big race, or, you know, what are they going to do?
Right. Yeah. Okay. Hey, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. And listeners, I want your take on this. What do you think that the U.S. Olympic Committee is going too far with their attempt to try and control who says what about the Olympics on Twitter? Let me know. You can let me know on Twitter. And that would be at TMO Daily. You can also send me an email.
Now, are you allowing them to tell you this on Twitter?
I am allowing you to tell me this on Twitter. And if you feel the need to use a hashtag like Rio 2016 or Team USA, I'm in no position to stop you. I'm just saying that. And you can also send me emails. That would be observations@macobserver.com. And of course, you can leave comments in the show notes. I'm curious what you think. It's pretty clear what we think. I want your opinion too. And so with that, we are out of time. Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Of course.
And John, thank you for being here.
You're very welcome. Tell all your friends to talk about the Mac Observer all you wish.
Yeah, that's right. You can hashtag. It's fine.
Absolutely.
Listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.